reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to WoW Pet Battle Crew, where small creatures fight to the death for our amusement. This show is brought to you by Guild Launch. Slay more dragons with Guild Launch. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and get your first month free. Doghouse Systems, makers of elite PC gaming machines. And by Typefrag, the leader in online voice communications. Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of WoW Pet Battle Crew. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week we're going to take a look at the different pet families that are available in the pet battle system. On top of that, we'll look at the unique bonus abilities they get from being in that family, and how those perks should guide your pet choices. First, let's take an overall look at the system. Family perks are essentially passive abilities that are granted to every pet in that family. These are families like aquatic, mechanical, magic, elemental, that sort of thing. So it's not an activated ability on your bar. You won't see it down at the bottom. You really have to hover over the family symbol near the pet health bars in the top of the screen to even see what it is. It's a pretty basic system, but it's easy to get surprised by it in the heat of battle, and they can often make a big difference at key moments in the fight. So we're going to walk through every family bonus in the game, rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, and then think about how we can make the most out of them in our pet choices. Now, a word of warning before we start. I'm going to say what kinds of stats and abilities you want for each of the pet types based on these family perks, but I want to make it clear that any benefit gained from these perks is actually really small in the grand scheme of things. The biggest factor for whether you should pick a pet or how valuable it is its ability roster. The perk benefits I talk about in this episode are more like tiebreakers between two pets of the same quality. I'm devoting a full episode to this, though, because I think it's something that's easy to overlook when you're building teams, and it actually can make a big difference. Alright, so let's get into it. Up first, Aquatic. Aquatic's family passive is actually the only one to have a name in the game, which is interesting. It's called Purity. What it does, it reduces damage from dot effects by 25%. How it affects your pet choices. This one really isn't worth picking around, unless the metagame starts to shift towards dot-heavy teams, which it probably will at some point because the metagame is constantly changing. It's not worth swapping in a pet and losing a turn just to get the benefit of this perk, so it's pretty rare you're going to like just naturally benefit from it. How to deal with it on an enemy pet, it's pretty simple. This one's straightforward. Don't use dots, or if you do, know that they're going to be dealing 25% less damage. Alright, overall rating, I'm giving this a 3 out of 10. I really don't like perks that are dependent on enemies using certain abilities. You'll be lucky if this thing does anything in half of the fights you do. I think most of the time it's going to do nothing, and that means it's totally wasted. Alright, up next, Beast. Their passive, their little bonus, is increases damage dealt by 50% when the pet is below half health. That's really good. So how it affects your pet choices. You want high health and high burst damage reliant on pump abilities or delayed spells. For example, bombs, the things you throw out, then it takes 3 turns to detonate, or small pumps like focus chi, or stealth, which increases the damage of your next attack. So the reason why you want those things, the high health gives it more turns to benefit from that 50% bonus, because it has to be below half health, and the more health it has, the more turns it will be below half health. The high burst damage and pump spells allow you to get double benefit from the buff by using those pump abilities before you're below half health, and delaying that damage until the next turn when you will be below half health, so then you get more out of the buff. I hope that makes sense. How to deal with it on an enemy pet. First off, keep an eye on the enemy's pet's health. It's hard to see 50%. As far as I know, there's not a way to see just percentage, so you're going to have to hover and do some quick math. A little buff will appear beneath the pet when this perk is active. So that's another way. Just keep an eye on there. It'll look like a little paw print to tell you that the pet has it. and get ready to absorb heavier hits once it hits half health. If you have dodges or disables and they're close to half health, it's probably worth saving them until they're have this passive, because you're going to get 50% more damage absorbed. For its overall rating, I'm giving this thing a 7. This is a great perk. You'll almost always get benefit out of it during a fight. It'll usually catch your opponent off guard, and I also like that it procs when you're losing the fight, which means it helps you when you need the help. I like this one a lot. It's surprising, it's powerful, it's reliable, good. All right, next up, critters. What it does, it reduces crowd control abilities by one turn. How it affects your pet choices. If you get a fast pet, you can basically make your pet immune to stuns, which can be very useful against certain compositions. And it's immune because it goes first, and then the pet uses its CC, which usually lasts for one turn, the stun, but it wears off one turn sooner, so it drops immediately. So you're essentially never stunned, unless they have a multiple turn stun, which I haven't even seen in the game. Other than that, don't waste ability slots on skills that remove CC. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, but your critter's going to be slipping out of them anyways. Put something else in those ability slots. So how to deal with it on an enemy pet? There's really nothing you can do to stop this. You just have to take it into account when you're planning your strategy. Know that if your pet is slow, those stuns aren't going to do anything, and they're going to slip out of all your CC faster. So, overall rating, I'm giving this a 7, just like Beast. Combined with the resilience buff that's being added in the next patch, which makes you temporarily immune to CC after you've been hit with it, critters are basically going to be uncontrollable. But I held it back from a higher score because it's still relying on pets having relevant abilities. I wish I could give it a higher score, but a lot of teams don't have CC, and so this isn't really going to matter. Alright, up next, Dragonkin. The Dragonkin perk is interesting. It increases damage dealt by 50% for one turn after bringing an enemy pet's health below 25%. So just to recap, you hit a pet below 25% health, including killing it, you get extra damage for one turn, 50% extra damage. Now, there's not a lot of stat considerations for this one when you're trying to figure out how it affects your pet choices. You could get some extra oomph out of it by using delayed detonation abilities like Elementium Bolt or Bombs or something like that. But it's not a whole lot going on. So how to deal with it on an enemy pet? Don't get scared when fights get tense at the end. You should get at least one surprised burst attack at the end of the fight. Also, once you get the buff, don't swap out your pet after it kills that opponent. Your next turn is worth 50% more damage. You have to use that. Alright, so rating. I'm giving this one a 4. It's not terrible, but it's hardly reliable. The enemy can just keep swapping out pets before they hit 25%, and you'll never see it. And it often requires you to make bad tactical decisions, such as leaving the Dragonkin in for that turn after it kills an opponent, even though it will die, because the buff only lasts for one turn, and you feel like you have to take advantage of it. Also, unlike the Beast Family perk, which gives the same damage bonus, 50%, it only procs. The Dragonkin one only procs when you're already winning, rather than when you need the extra boost when you're hurt. So yeah, 4, I could do without it. Elemental. This causes it to ignore all weather effects. We've talked about this one a lot on the podcast because it can really throw a curveball into someone's plans. But let's look at how it affects your pet choices first. Quite a few elemental pets, a surprising amount, have abilities that activate weather effects. So, which is kind of weird because they're immune to them, but they can still activate them. So if it's a negative effect, such as blindness, which blinds, reduces accuracy, or scorched earth, which deals damage to pets every turn, that's actually a big benefit and something you want to draft and get on your team, because it's only going to penalize the opponents. If it's a beneficial effect, though, such as sunny weather or moonlight, which both increase healing, you really, really, really want to avoid it, unless you have a very specific plan of swapping out a different pet to take advantage of it. But sadly, outside of purchased pets, only elementals can even cast Sunny Weather. Which, frankly, is kind of dumb. I guess they're trying to encourage you to buy the pet on the store for real money, but the fact that Sunny Weather is only on elementals, which can't benefit from the healing, that's just kind of silly. Alright, so how to deal with it on an enemy pet. Pay careful attention to the wording of weather effects. You can hover your mouse over them at the top of the screen to see how they're worded, and check if it affects the attacker or the victim. For example, Lightning Storm in particular caught me off guard. It affects the victim, so elemental pets can still proc the damage bonus on its attacks, because it adds damage to each attack, but not to each attack dealt, to each attack taken. So that means elemental pets can still go out there and hit and get the bonus. So rating, this surprises me. I was planning to give it a super high rating because of how annoying it is to face. But I'm really only going to give it a 5. It's more frustrating for opponents than it is useful for yourself. It's hard to get excited about a passive that can hurt you almost as often as it helps you. Alright, let's look at flyers. So flyers is interesting. This is the one that always catches me off guard. I don't know what it is about it. I never remember it. It gives you a 50% bonus to speed while the pet is above 50% health. So it's faster at when it starts the game. So how that's going to affect your pet choices. Low speed pets get more benefit out of this ability. Use it on low speed pets. High speed pets will get nothing from it when it's facing low speed pets. Right? Because they're going to be faster anyways. It's just overkill. If you have stun effects on a pet, on a flying pet that has this passive, be sure to use it while you're fast so you get the biggest bang out of it. That way it stuns the opponent for 2 turns, basically. Having the ability to heal itself will help you stay in the speed zone, so you want to have pets that can heal itself. Alright, how to deal with it on an enemy pet. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Get them down below 50% of health as quickly as possible, if they're faster than you. Or, you can swap in a pet with a big speed debuff if you really need to go first for some reason. But be warned, I mean, it's a 50% speed buff, and a lot of speed debuffs are just 25%, so it may not even be enough to get you in there. You're going to need a heavy speed debuff if you want to do anything about this. If the enemy pet is close to 50% health, save your interrupts and stuns until after it drops beneath that perk, so it's slower than you. Rating, this is a 4. It's even worse than the elemental one. This is a barely decent effect that won't win you any games. I mean, by itself, just a 50% bonus to speed isn't even great, and it's only active 50% of the time. This is a gimmick that's barely worth its weight in ideal scenarios. Humanoids. Little humans running around, fighting stuff. Alright, this one restores 4% of your maximum health every turn that it deals damage. The heal happens at the end of the turn, the same time the dots tick and all that. How it affects your pet choices. You want high health and long duration dot abilities will get you the most out of this. Especially if that dot can tick while the pet is on your bench, such as the Core Fire Imp, which we're testing this week. Obviously, aggressive pets do best with this because you need it to proc every turn. Also, pets with large pump abilities don't do great because you're not attacking every turn. You want pets with small hits that will hit every single turn, not ones that'll charge for 3 and then blast them away. Alright, so how to deal with it on an enemy pet. Obviously, crowd control and blocks will go a long way towards shutting down the benefits from this passive. It's not every time it attacks. It has to deal damage to you for that pet to gain health. So if you can block attack or go evasive for 1 turn, they're not going to be healing. Other than that, there's not much you can do. I mean, just keep in mind when calculating it if you can win the current duel. Because it's surprising. Over like 6 or 7 hits, it'll gain a lot of health. So rating, I'm giving this a 10. I think this is the best one on the whole list. And at first, I thought it was bad. I have to admit, when I first started using it, I thought 4% was way too low. But when you think about it, a pet that's built for this, that's not going to be a long charge attack or anything like that, a good pet will get at least 6 hits in before it dies. Right? That means it's going to get at least 24% of its health back. And that'll give it 1 or 2 extra turns, essentially. that's already as good as the undead and mechanical passives, which we're going to get to in just a second. And it has the potential to do so much more if you can get dots ticking from the bench. All right, magic. Magic is another interesting one that I thought was bad, but then it's become really good recently because the meta has changed. Magic perk. Magic pets cannot lose more than 40% of its maximum health in one hit. So, obviously how that affects your pet choices, low health pets get significantly more out of this one. Because the passive will proc more often, absorbing more damage over the course of the fight. Because the lower the health, the lower the threshold is for 40% of its maximum health. So go for other stats on these than health. It's not that you want low health pets, because low health pets die faster, but it's that you don't, if you're weighing stats against each other, you get benefits from not having health. So put extra into speed, attack, whatever else it is you want on that pet. So if the enemy pet has this passive, obviously avoid burst damage spells while the magic pet is in the front. That's obvious because the pet's right there. It's warning you, hey, don't hit me heavy. Also, you want to avoid big pump spells if they have a magic pet on their team at all, even if it's on their bench, because pump spells give warning. And what I mean by pump spells is, you know, like water pump or chi, what is that? Inspire chi or whatever. Focus chi. Where you basically give a warning that, hey, next turn I'm going to do a lot of damage. Because any good pet tamer will swap in their magic pet to show you, because you showed your hand. You told them, hey, I'm planning a big attack next turn, and so they know how to defend against it. Rating? I'm going to give this a 5. This is one that's going to swing in and out of usefulness. Like right now, it's probably an 8, just because of how crazy burst damage is. That's getting nerfed next patch. The meta will change. It's a 5 overall. When burst damage pets are in vogue, it's going to be huge. But 2 months ago, it was totally useless because everyone was doing small rapid fire hits. I do like that just having it on your team, though, forces your opponent to change their plan or at least be hesitant about it because they're worried about you swapping it in to block. I like that it's giving you a benefit even when it's not proccing. That's really cool. Alright, we got 2 left, and 2 of my favorites, actually. Mechanical. This perk you've seen before, I'm sure. It returns the pet to life with 20% of its maximum health the first time that it dies. So obviously it won't keep doing it multiple times. That would be absurd. So, obviously for mechanical pets, you want a pet that can heal itself, preferably in a fast, big chunk. A lot of them have repair, which, you know, pumps for 2 turns, then heals them for a huge amount. That lets you turn this passive into more than just, hey, have an extra turn. Usually it's 1 or 2 turns tops if you aren't healing, but if you can heal, you can turn it into have a whole other health bar, and you get 2 lives to mess with this guy. So that's great. So being high speed definitely helps you take advantage of the post-death turn. But that's a pretty small bonus, so I wouldn't even really worry about that. It's not really any different than a non-mechanical pet. So, when facing mechanical pets, you want to keep in mind that the pet will most likely get 2 turns after you quote-unquote kill it the first time, unless you have a trick like the one that, hey, if the pet's below 25% health, guaranteed kill. But if it's not that, they're probably going to get 2 turns out of it. So don't blow your big hitting abilities if a mechanical pet is really low. If it has, you know, like 100 health or something. Getting that kill is not as important as it usually is because it's going to come back with 20% health, and that's when you want to hit it with the heavy abilities. Especially if it can heal. You want to hit it right after it resurrects so that you can make sure that they won't heal. Rating, I'm giving this an 8. With a heal to support it, this passive is a huge help and can really change games, I think. But even without a heal, it almost always comes in handy, and I also like that it helps you when you're in trouble. I've said this a couple times, but abilities that help you when you're in trouble are better. Catches the enemy off guard, and it ensures that kind of you're getting the help when you're at your weakest. And last but not least, undead. This one, I'm sure you've seen too, extremely similar to mechanical. It returns your pet to life unkillable for 1 turn after it dies. How it affects your pet choices. A low speed will actually allow you to get more out of this passive because it will give you 2 immortal ability turns. So if you're not running with CC, that which benefits from having fast speed, go with low speed. Put those points into other stats. Having a big burst ability also gives huge benefit to this. It basically lets you give a long-term penalty to the enemy team. I mean, something like Reckless Strike, which even has a penalty on you as well, is even better because it exchanges that weak defenses for more offense. But you're going to have an immortal turn where you're guaranteed to die anyways, so who cares if you're taking 25% more damage? Just burst out that damage on top of them before you go. So that lets you get the most out of that last free turn. When you're facing an undead pet, though, if you have a stun, you can use it to completely negate this passive, which is actually kind of funny, especially if they have an ability like Reckless Strike or Ghostly Bite that we just mentioned that you know they're waiting to use after they die. A quick stun will just ruin their day because they've been saving that ability and then they can't even use it. And it's also perfect if you're faster than it as well, if you have a stun. Just knock out 2 of its attacks. That's great. Rating, I'm giving this a 7. This passive is good, and it's almost always worse than mechanical. The enemy team is not pressured to kill you before you can heal, so they can spend the turn, you know, buffing themselves, healing. They know you're going to disappear in a turn anyways. They just have to wait out the turn, and a lot of times they can just pass, and the same thing happens. Your pet dies. Whereas mechanical forces their hand a bit more, so I like that a little more. So let's take a look at some overall balance thoughts and how well we think they're balanced. It's really tough to compare these directly, but there definitely seems to be some that are much more desirable than others. For example, I would always prefer to have the Beast passive, which is that 50% damage buff 50% of the time, over the Aquatic passive, which is 25% less damage from dots. Really? Like those two? I'm pretty sure you would agree with me on that one. And the mechanical passive will almost always be better than the undead passive. But honestly, that's kind of okay because mechanicals are at a huge disadvantage due to their counter family, which is elementals, which we'll get into. Actually, the next guide I'm going to do is going to be on how families counter each other and how that works. So we'll see that. And undead actually has great counter families. So, I mean, obviously these aren't being designed in a vacuum. It's the overall balance of all of it. So, but, you know, mechanical, it's just weird that they're so similar, and mechanical is always better, essentially. So, 3 things I would change about it. I'm only going to talk about 3. I would change either the undead or mechanical passive so that they aren't directly comparable. Now, I really like the flavor of the undead, so I wouldn't change that, because they're undead. They come back for one turn as undead. That's perfect. It's great. So I think we need to change mechanical. I think we got a couple options here. Mechanical could do a low percentage splash damage on each attack, which every time they hit, they deal, say, 5% damage to the other pets on the bench. Or they could have a chance to maybe small a spawn bomb that detonates in X turns, say 3 turns, with each attack. If they say like a 10% chance. So every 10 attacks, they spawn a small bomb that will attack in or detonate in 3 turns. Tons of warning, tons of chance. I don't think that's too powerful. But this one might be my favorite thought for them. I think we should give them automated shielding. Let mechanical pets block every 10th attack. It's not a huge damage reduction overall, roughly 10%. And it's actually lower than that because it can easily be manipulated by the enemy player so that the 10th hit is a really small hit and the other ones are big. So it would need to be shown as a stacking buff so that the enemy could see it. But I love this, that it just plays more into the attack speed and, hey, should I divide up my hits or should I do them in one heavy hit one? I like that a lot. So, second, I would obviously change Aquatic. I've been kind of dogging on them this whole time. Change Aquatic to reduce all damage taken by X, where X is a value scaling with level. So it's a flat damage, so say like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, you know, based on your level. Obviously, those numbers are too high, but whatever it would be. So this would essentially provide the same bonus to dots, which is why I like it, because dots hit in small amounts. So scale that number so that it's 25% of whatever dots are ticking for at that level, but then make it still do something when the enemy team doesn't have dots, so you don't feel like it's wasted. All right, last change I'm going to make. I would make the flying passive be always attack first. Flat. No speed buff, no below 50% health or whatever, just always attack first. Honestly, it's so underpowered now. Sorry, not so underpowered. It's fairly underpowered. I don't think this would be unreasonable. Always attacking first, I mean, that happens a lot of the time anyways. And it's just something more reliable that you can play around with. So, overall, though, I just gotta say, these are fairly minor gripes I have. I think the passives are not disrupting gameplay, and that's a win in itself. The game is balanced, these are balanced. I think we could just do something a little more interesting with them. But that's just my thoughts. What do you think? I want to hear what your favorite pet family perks are and which you hate. I'd also love to hear stories about how one of these actually helped you win a game or you lost a game because of just the family ability. As always, you can find a full guide written up with fancy screenshots and bold lettering in the show notes on my blog, www.gamediplomat.com. You can also email me your thoughts at wowpetbattle@outlook.com. And share your thoughts with other Pet Battle fiends in our Google Plus community. Just go to Google Plus and search for WoW Pet Battles. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of WoW Pet Battle Crew. I'll leave you with this week's audio quiz. Listen to the sounds of the mystery pet and submit your guess of which pet makes all of these sounds on the blog or in the Google Plus community. I'll announce the winners on next week's episode when we review the Fire Healers team. Happy hunting, tamers.